What a perfect example of today's message. We're on this series titled Stepping Out. Everybody say Stepping Out. So this is a series that is based on Hebrews chapter 11. If you're new here, we want to encourage you, go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's known to be the hall of faith, and it covers different aspects of the way we, as children of God, can step out in faith. And it focuses on different people in the Bible, different biblical characters who chose to live by God, live by faith and honor God with their lives. And part of what I want to do today, before I get into it, is actually explain something that is really important. I read it in my devos this week, and so I just felt like this was a great opportunity for me to do what the Apostle Paul did. Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about their faith, and he was sort of explaining what they were trying to do. Look at what he said. He said, not that we lord it over your faith. What does he mean by that? He means not that we control your faith, because no one can control your faith. Faith is individual. Faith is personal. It's your faith. You have your faith. I have my faith. And I can't control your faith. Only you can live by faith. The Bible says, according to your faith. Everybody say, that means my faith. So according to your faith shall it be done. And so he was saying, not that we lord it over your faith. We can't control your faith, but we work with you. We work with you for your joy, because it is by faith that you stand firm. So what was Paul saying? Paul was saying, look, I can't control your faith, but I'm called to work with you to do whatever we can to help you walk by faith and step out in faith, to help you to go to the becoming track, to help you to be part of give and go, all of these different opportunities, because when you live by faith, what happens is you start to experience so much joy. When you live by faith, joy becomes, it breaks open in your life. You're just so happy because you're living by faith. How many have ever experienced a step of faith and you like do something for God and you just feel so much joy? All of these are opportunities for you to grow in joy. And listen to this, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. So when you walk by faith, when you live by faith, not only do you walk around with joy, but you also stand stronger in God. Amen. Anybody here want to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Hallelujah. That happens as we step out in faith, as we walk by faith. And so that's what this moment is all about. And today's message, the title of today's message, is really, really special and very, very crucial to how we are going to experience like the great things that God wants to do in us and through us in 2025. You ready? The title of the message today is Faith Believes in Divine Enablement. Faith believes that God still works in our lives and enables us to become and to go beyond who we are. This message is about believing that God still does miracles in 2025. How many believe that God still does miracles? And he does miracles not just through us, but in us. God does miracles through us, but God does miracles in us. He does miracles in us. How? By divine enablement. So a lot of people believe in the God of the Bible, but they say the works of power were for the old days, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are no old days with God. There's just today, and today the promises of God are yea and amen. They are yes and amen. God still works today. Does anybody believe that here today? Hallelujah. See, a lot of us believe things about God, but do you believe that God wants to work in you and for you and through you today? And he does it by his miraculous power. God is a powerful God. And faith believes in divine enablement. And what I want to do is read to you, not just from Hebrews, but I want to read the whole I want to read part of the story out of Genesis as well, because that gives us amazing context for how we grow in our faith in believing God for divine enablement, like God would do a miracle in me, in you, that God would help us. Okay? So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 11, and it says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled. Everybody say enabled. Enabled. There it is. By faith, she was enabled. Even though she was past childbearing age, she was in her 70s. Abraham was 100. But by faith, she was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Okay, we're going to unpack this in a moment. But she was enabled by faith. The key to divine enablement is faith. Okay, you can believe. You can believe that God can draw near you today. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what your past is, regardless of what your struggle is, how many know God can draw near to you and do something inside of you that enables you? He's able by his mighty power. And then watch this. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashores. So you get this woman who's past childbearing years. She is way past that. He is way past that. But God made them a promise. And because God promised them that they were going to have a child, they were enabled. You see, the divine enablement kicked into their lives. And now to really put this into context, though, I want to read from Genesis. Because she grew into this. You see, you can grow in your faith, and you're going to see it right now. And I love the fact that the Bible, it just is so honest. Have you noticed that the Bible doesn't cover up all of the, you know, the craziness, the weakness, the dysfunction, you know, all of the failures? The Bible doesn't cover up all of those things of the people of God, but what you see is you see the faithful divine enablement of God in people's lives. Okay, so Genesis 18, and let me read this to you, so I'll give you the shape it for you. So Abraham and Sarah are in the desert. They get visited by three angels. And one of them, it's believed, was the angel of the Lord. Some people, it's a pre-incarnate visitation of Christ. Like, it was like the Lord was there. It doesn't matter all the details, but God was speaking. And so one of the angels says something to Abraham regarding Sarah. Let's jump into it. So then one of them said, this was the angel of the Lord, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?'" So watch this. First of all, again, this is true. So here he's talking to the three angels, and she's like right behind there, kind of eavesdropping, you know, on the conversation. And the angel of the Lord says, "Next year when I get here, Sarah's going to give birth to a son." And Sarah starts laughing. And the angel of the Lord says, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Okay? What's up with that? Why did she laugh? What is she thinking about? If I say that something is going to happen, something is going to happen, because I am the King of glory. I have all power, all wisdom, all might. What's up with that? And as we get ready to pray for this, I want to challenge you today, because is there a laughter in your spirit when God promises you something? Do you do what she did? Because here's what she did. What she did was like me. Are you kidding me? See, we're going to unpack this in a moment, but I want to declare to you today, it's not about you, it's about him. And if God says it, that settles it. Somebody say amen with me. Hallelujah. No matter what it is, if God speaks into it, it's going to happen. No matter what it is, no matter what your past is. So I want you to bring your stuff to God today. Bring your issues, bring your challenges, bring your battles, bring your struggles, bring your brokenness, bring it all to God. And let's get a hold of a promise of God, because when God speaks into that situation, that's when divine enablement is released. And then, she didn't just have a kid. She had a kid that would give birth to the nations, that the spiritual DNA in the child that she gave birth to is in all of us. We are children of Abraham and Sarah by faith. That's how powerful the promise of God is. You have no idea what divine enablement can do, not just in you, but through you. How many want to receive faith today? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many want to say, "Lord, put Sarah's faith," whatever transformation, whatever went from the moment that she was laughing and doubting to the moment she was believing. We'll talk about it in a moment. God, do that in me today. Because, Lord, I want divine enablement in 2025. Come on, lift your hands with me. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we know, we believe that you are more than able. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the many, many promises that are in your word and in your heart for each and every one of us. God, I pray today that faith would rise inside of us. I pray today, God, that you would release divine enablement, Lord, into every heart, into families, God, into relationships, into careers. God, I pray that your divine enablement would be released, oh God, into our past, our present, and our future. So God, do for us what you did for Sarah and for Abraham. Enable us. regardless of what the limitation is. And I pray, Lord, that I pray for every heart. I pray today, Lord, that whether someone is watching online or sitting in the seats, I pray that no heart would sit on the sidelines today. I pray that every heart would engage and say, Lord, fill me with faith. So God, do something special in our midst. I pray for a special transaction to take place between you and your children. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do is we're going to like try to drill down on how was this divine enablement released into her life. And it literally says why. It says because, right? And the first thing that we have to grab onto here is that just like Sarah's faith, our faith should consider him faithful. It says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing years, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So here's the process that she went through. Something happened, and I want to read this to you. So something happens to her. She starts with a laughter. Look at this. It says, then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing, so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, I'm worn out, and my Lord is old. Will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. Sarah will have a son. What was he saying? Is anything too hard? Is anything too wonderful? Is anything too difficult for me? How did Sarah get there? She started with who, me? So this is an interesting thing. She started with, who, me? I'm an old woman. I can't do anything. There's no possibility now. That's all gone. Have you ever said, who, me? Have you ever heard a promise from God and said, who, me? So here's what she did. What she did is she said, who, me? But then she said, wait a second. It's not about me. It's the one who is faithful. Hallelujah. So faith considers him, everyone, faithful. Faith doesn't consider self. Faith considers him, everyone, faithful. So who do you consider today? Who are you considering today? Because instead of looking at yourself, you can laugh at yourself, but you could still look at God and say, well, when I look at me, there's nothing but laughter. But when I look at him, I say, all things are possible with God. Hallelujah. I may be the laughing stock, but he's the King of glory and he's able. It's not about you, it's about him. It's about what he decides to do in you and through you. He is faithful. When he promises it, it is all done. Amen. So here's what she did. What she did is she said, man, God promised my husband that we were going to have a son. And he actually promised him that in this particular case, more or less, it was 24 years ago. So she said, God promised my husband 24 years ago that we were going to have a son. And my husband has been waiting. But see, the way faith works, brothers and sisters, is you wait. It's 24 years. And then guess what? Then it's 1 year. Okay, it's 24 years, then it's 1 day. It's 24 years, then it's 9 months. So you wait for a while, but then get ready because the breakthrough is coming. How many are ready for the breakthrough even though you've been waiting? It's 24 years and then it happens, hallelujah. That's the way faith works. And you wait and you wait and you believe God. And so here's what she did. And by the way, every head of household noticed that because Abraham wouldn't stop believing in God, even though his wife laughed, she was still persuaded. She was still influenced by her husband's faith. Do you know when you live by faith, when you stay steady in your faith, the people around you are going to start believing, because they're going to see the goodness of the Lord in your life and upon your life. Hallelujah. And so she laughed at herself, but she considered the goodness of God. And she said, you know what? God is going to do this because he said he's going to do this. She said, he's more than able. When we consider, it shapes everything. So see, some people consider fear instead of considering faith. Some people consider strategy instead of considering the wisdom of God. Just because you don't have the strategy, just because you don't have the answer, doesn't mean God doesn't have the wisdom to lead you through and to bring about the breakthrough. How many would say amen? You see, what are you considering? Real faith considers him who is faithful. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about what God can do? Because faith says God promised it. In the Bible, in one of the Psalms, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? So you got a giant problem in your life and you look at the mountains, you go, oh my goodness, where am I gonna get help from? But the psalmist recovers and says, you know what? My help comes from the Lord. I look above the hills. I look up to the higher power. Hallelujah. There's human power, but I look to the higher power. You know, this made me think about Teen Challenge. So, you know, Teen Challenge was a ministry that started in the 70s. And we love Teen Challenge here. We support Teen Challenge. Chrissy and I are personally connected to Teen Challenge at a kind of a national level. And anything that we could do to support this ministry, we try our best to do it. Part of Give and Go is we send some support to Teen Challenge. And so Dave Wilkerson came from Pennsylvania, ministered in on the streets of New York, actually in Brooklyn, actually right in my neighborhood. And people started to get saved. And so they started something called Teen Challenge, and they were pulling drug addicts and alcoholics and people bound by all sorts of things. And they were sticking them in these homes that for the most part had been kind of donated. And think about it, and it's still to this day, I've been in a lot of teen challenges. So these are some donated spaces. They have bunk beds, and it's donated furniture. And a lot of times they eat off of donated food. And it's a real faith ministry. And these guys come in, and look, so you take Teen Challenge, and let's compare it with, like, let's say the places when people in Hollywood or big-time executives, when they get bound by some drugs and they go to these programs, like I was mentioning Matthew Perry, the recent star who unfortunately overdosed. So he many times he paid a lot of money and he went to these centers, right, where it's like a hospital hotel. Yeah. And there's like all of these doctors, and there's all of these like incredible things. There's like vitamins, and there's like sleep regimens, and there are all of these like human. And by the way, I'm not saying anything negative. All of those things are fantastic, except they don't look to the higher power. Hallelujah. So you can do all of this stuff that's horizontal, but faith makes us vertical. And faith says it doesn't matter what man can do. There's a place that we got to step into, that it's where God can do what God wants to do. He is more than able. Hallelujah. And so it's interesting, because if you go to a teen challenge, you know, they're not kind of getting IVs every day, and there's not like a substitute drug, like, you know, methadone or other. There's like all of these things that they're not doing. However, Teen Challenge is known to be one of the most effective, not just in the country, in the whole world. Listen to this. Northwestern University labeled Teen Challenge a proven answer to the drug problem in our country. Okay, listen, and by the way, this is not like an advertisement for Teen Challenge. I support it if, you know, you should, but I'm trying to make a point. I'm talking about there is divine enablement. There's what we can do, but then there's what God can enable us to do. Listen to this. 20 months after graduation, 92.9% reported no new legal problems post-graduation. Before Christ, right? Before Christ, trouble after trouble, arrest after arrest, you know, stealing, whatever it is. But after Christ, after divine enablement, hallelujah, more than 9 out of 10 walk in victory. 25.9% have enrolled in new education or training. 91% reported improved quality of relationships with family members. He is more than able to restore our families. Hallelujah. You know, in our first service, we have a number of people who come from Pacific Garden Missions. And there's one story that I don't know that we've told it here, but one of the stories that stands out to me is a guy who burned every bridge with his family and got to the point where no one in his own family wanted anything to do with him. But he goes to Teen Challenge, and he starts to find God, and he starts to, I guess, send them notes, send them letters. He starts to go through it, and something starts to happen. And then he goes all the way through the program, and it comes time for graduation. And so you have to understand, after wounding people and hurting people and just letting people down and disappointing people and stabbing in the back and stealing from them, all of those different things, after all of those different things, he's going to graduate, and he sends a word to them and says, "Would you attend my graduation?" This conversation has been had so many times, okay? And in the natural, children say, "I want nothing to do with them. I don't believe it." "Oh, you found Jesus." Now all that, like, think about all the things that people love to say. They can send me a keyboard player. And sure enough, but see, when God starts to work in you, he also starts to work for you. That's what we have to understand. And sure enough, after destroying everything, thinking nobody's coming for me, I'm going to cross that stage and they'll give me a diploma, but nobody's going to be there. But do you know, His whole family was there. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's able. God is able. Come on, somebody say, God is able. What we have to understand is that when you consider him who is faithful, you're looking to the higher power, the real higher power. By the way, AA used to be just as effective, and then when they removed Jesus as the one and only higher power, all of a sudden their results dropped. Okay? Because there is only one who comes to live inside of your heart. There's no other religion. There's no other faith where God says, I came to this world not to be around you, not to demand of you, but to live inside of you, to love you, to transform you, to empower you by my Holy Spirit. I shed my blood so that your sin would be forgiven and you would have a brand new start. Hallelujah. I will enable you. Praise be to the living God. No other faith, no other philosophy. Jesus is the one and only. Amen. He loves us with an everlasting love. How much? Enough to die for us and say, I want to live inside of you. Like, you're not like some, no, I love you. You know? In fact, he said, I didn't say this for sure, but I'm supposed to say it right now. See, you're here today, and maybe you've been disappointed by people who shouldn't have let you down. And the word of the Lord to you is this: even if your mother or father forsake you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many know our God is faithful? Come on, if you believe that, our God is faithful, 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 hallelujah. And so look, last quick thing I want to say on this, because this is important. See, faith is not for the double-minded. Faith is not one heart today for God, another heart tomorrow for the world. One heart today for this, one heart today for that. Faith says, God said it, I'm going to walk in it. That's what was unique about Abraham and Sarah. It's like, I'm walking in this. I'm waiting for him. So it reminded me when God spoke to the nation of Israel. Listen to this. This is such a beautiful, or maybe beautiful is the wrong word. More, this is an intense description. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel, but we can individualize this for ourselves. He says, why do you go about so much changing your ways? You will be disappointed by Egypt as you were by Assyria. You will also leave that place with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those you trust. You will not be helped by them. And so here's what God is saying, and he's still saying it today. He says, why do you bounce around in your faith? Why do you go a little bit to Egypt? And then when Egypt lets you down, like he says, don't date that guy. That guy doesn't love me. That guy won't honor me. And you're like, but he's so good looking. And you know what? He did say grace once. How many are saying grace once doesn't make a man of God? So, but you're like, but they're right here. He says, but who cares about right there? That's Egypt for you. You know what? You're going to leave that thing with your hands on your head and say, why did I do that? So we go from Egypt, then we go to Assyria. We try something different. We do something different. Oh, maybe this will work. He says, I've rejected that. Let me help you. Let me bless you. Let me strengthen you, says the living God. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. He's able. You know, in the last month, one of the members of our church, I heard this story. I thought this was fantastic. So one of the members of this church was in a room, in a real kind of behind-the-scenes kind of way. and they were in a room with the CEO of a major corporation, like in the world. And if I said the name of the corporation, everyone 100% would know it. Okay? So this is a major corporation. They find themselves in the room and with the CEO, and the CEO was like looking like they were in struggle and in conflict. Now, pause. Now, the child of God should wake up in the morning and say, you know what? God has a plan for my life, and God wants to use me today. You know, God doesn't just want to bless me. He wants to make me a blessing. And you know what? I'm looking to him, and I'm like, Lord, what is that exciting thing that you have for me to do? What kind of contribution, what kind of blessing could I be to someone, Lord? God, show me. I'm ready to be a blessing. Did you wake up like that? Are you waking up every day saying, come on, God, I'm ready to be used. Lord, you are more than able. It's not about me. It's about you through me. It's about divine enablement. So sure enough, he's in the room. CEO's going through obvious something about his body language. You know, the person had the audacity, the nerve to say, hey, are you okay? And the CEO turned to them and said, you know what? It's a really, really hard day. Now this CEO's getting ready to speak to the corporation and give a report, all this thousands of people, but he's in the room. You see, do you know everyone wants to be privately healthy? No matter how successful they are. You know, and so here he is. And guess what the person says? Well, here's what he said. He goes, yeah, it's a really hard day. And he's like, man, I wish my wife could be here with me. But she's at home. We got a problem. We got this crisis at home. One of my kids, they're in trouble. And, you know, think about the broken heart gets up in front of him. Oh, there's the big CEO. Problems just like you and me. All of us do. See? But do you believe that God wants to put you someplace and use you to be a blessing to someone? Hallelujah. Just because you're available, when you are available, he enables you. And sure enough, the person says, can I pray for you? He's like, yes. And prayed over this complete stranger and ministered to them. And they said, thank you. And by the way, even turned around. It was either that day or the next day, said to one of his like colleagues, you see this person right here? They prayed for me. You know? Why? How do those things happen? It's because God puts you in a place. And he enables you to be his representative. He enables you to make a difference. He enables you to make an eternal impact. I don't know exactly what the tune was, but I believe that maybe that day when Sarah went from laughing at herself to looking to God, that was the first version maybe of You Are More Than Able, that song that they're playing. You are more than able, right? You are, I'm not gonna go that high. Don't do it. More than able. No, I'm not doing it. When I can't hit the notes, I just drop out. That's why the singers are there. But listen, remember what I said earlier? You know, don't just sing here, sing in your house. Sarah was alone when she considered God faithful. Come on, let's consider him faithful. If he said it, he could do it. So that's number one. Then very quickly, faith Faith believes in his enabling power. And what that means is this: faith knows and understands that God's power is not limited by anything on this earth. There is no limitation when divine enablement enters the scene. There's nothing that can stop the power of God. Yeah, look, Lazarus dies, he's dead 4 days. And just to make the point, he's dead, he's been wrapped up. His own sisters are saying, Lord, if you pull him out of that grave, he's gonna smell. His flesh is rotting. You understand, but it doesn't matter. Whatever has rotted, whatever has died, whatever has been buried, whatever has grave clothes around it, if he speaks in power, hallelujah, divine enablement transforms it all. Don't be talking to Jesus about grave clothes. You see? Because he is more than able. So what I want to do before we go to pray is I want to break down God's enabling power, and I want to make sure that we understand there's no cap, there's no limit, there's no stopping the power of God, okay? But his enabling power comes in different forms. First, it comes as a gift, okay? And by a gift, we mean this. God gives each and every one of us a gift. And he gives us a little bit of extra in a particular area that becomes our source of blessing. So he gives someone a gift in mathematics. And because of that gift in mathematics, a person can become an engineer. And because they become an engineer because of their gift of mathematics, all of a sudden they can make a living and provide for their family because they have a gift. I'm terrible with numbers. Another person could have a gift of creativity. Like they can design things and they're good with computers. And so all of a sudden they get jobs, they do websites, they do this, they do that because they got a little extra in that department. Some people, it's music, and they got a gift in music. I can't do on that, as I've already proven, right? We all have gifts, and God puts a gift inside of us that is divine enablement. Did you know that you don't have that gift because of you? You have that gift because of God. Come on, somebody say amen. The next time you are aware of that gift in action, be sure to give God the credit. Be sure to give him praise for how he made you. Say, man, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord. It's because you put something inside of me. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But the one who believes says, thank you for every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. Amen. So that's part of the enabling power. But part two of the enabling power is that God does a small miracle in our lives. Okay? What do we mean by a small miracle? A small miracle is a unique work of power that no one sees, but eventually leads to transformation and blessing. So Sarah believes, and at that moment, when Sarah believes, God does a small miracle inside of her and her husband, which no one sees. Do you realize that today God can do a small miracle inside of you? That is the opening, the beginning, the launching of this incredibly blessed future, this transformational life that God has for you, just because today is the day that you believed and God did that small miracle inside of you. Nobody knew when she was enabled to bear children after being shut down, but she was enabled. He was enabled. Not only did she conceived, but she carried that child. Not only did she carry, but she brought him forth. And not only did she bring him forth, but that child was the child of the great promise of God. But it all started with this little miracle.